Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And it is that what is normally probably the most exciting day of the year for us as hockey fans.
Yeah. The trade deadline and the free agency. It's kind of like Christmas and birthday, 1A, 1B.
All rolled into one. And, well, let's just go right ahead and cue the music on that, shall we? Because we have, not a lot to discuss when it relates to Detroit.
No, not really. One trade made today that I know of.
That's all I've seen, too.
Klim Kostin going to San Jose for a cat I've never heard before in my life. I looked him up on Elite Prospects. He's already labeled going to Grand Rapids.
Yep.
Well, we got him in a 2024 seventh-round pick, so really nothing of note. Now, it is after 3 o'clock. That is a deadline, but sometimes things come in.
I think we're far enough after that nothing's going to pop up. It's like we haven't even had any inkling of any rumors.
No, not really. I mean, let's see.
Nothing.
It looks like there's some speculation. Vegas is working on Thomas Hertl deal with San Jose.
Oh, I got a bone to pick with Vegas coming up here in a little bit.
Would this happen to be the Mark Stone IR?
You saw the show rundown today, didn't you?
No, I didn't. But we're all thinking the same thing. Vegas, yeah. We see you.
We'll get to that
in a little bit. All right, yeah. Anyway, Vegas, we see you. let me see.
Klim Kostin is out. He's gone. He's been sent off to San Jose.
Okay, all right. I mean, Yzerman wanted him bad. They got him in here and couldn't find any use for him. And you saw what happened with your team against Florida Panthers. You got run over. You got ran right the F over. That's where you need a Klim Kostin. So you send him to San Jose for a sack of beans.
Well, apparently they didn't get quite what they were hoping for out of him.
No. I mean, I didn't even bother memorizing the guy's name because I think he's already going to be in.
Yeah, he's officially already bound for GR.
Yep.
Is everything I've read.
Some big trades that have happened. Matt Dumba in a 2025 seventh round pick going to Tampa Bay, and Arizona's getting a 2027 fifth round pick. So that was 2027 fifth round pick. So that's not even talk about a sack of beans.
So someone that's going to get drafted well after Arizona actually is no longer playing in Arizona.
Yeah, it could have been one of those things like that pick was supposed to go to Arizona, but then they got moved to Houston and became a powerhouse. That pick went to, just pick any name, end up scoring twice as many goals as Gretzky.
You can almost see something like that happening, too.
I'm just looking through some tweets. Do I still call them tweets or do I call them X's?
I don't actually know.
Who cares?
Not me. I'm not getting paid enough
Kyle
by that company.
Also being traded to the Florida Panthers.
Florida's just stocking, becoming like even more of a just powerhouse than they already were.
Yeah, I mean, they got Ocposo, Vladimir Tarasenko from Ottawa, which I was like, oh, man, I can't believe that. Did you really care about Tarasenko? I forgot that he was playing for Ottawa, quite frankly. So I'm not too worried about it. But the fact that Florida is making these moves shows they're all in.
I would certainly think so. I mean, Florida's been, they're currently sitting atop the Eastern Conference. Of course, they're going to do everything to double down on this, especially when you see the powerhouse in the other conference making some, big moves, which we'll get to later.
Oh, yeah. Bruins, they got themselves the big rig, Pat Maroon. He's going to the Bees.
So they're guaranteed a Stanley Cup now?
Oh, yeah.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, pretty much. 3 years in a row. He didn't make it last year. But before that, 3 seasons in a row, he got to the Stanley Cup Finals. So Minnesota gets a conditional 2026 sixth-round pick. Maroon, he's 2 to 3 weeks away from back surgery, but Boston still has something for him. Looks like Tyler Toffoli is going to Winnipeg. Hopefully that'll get some more people in the seats. New Jersey is getting a 2025.
Every little bit helps right now with that.
2025 second round pick and a 2024 third round pick in exchange. Jordan Eberle, he's not going anywhere. 2-year extension with the Kraken. Very good move by Seattle.
We were hoping for a while that, you know, maybe you'd be able to pry him away from there.
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of what
I was saying. No such luck.
Yeah. 2-year extension, $4.75 million. Full no trade clause, of course. That just kind of goes all in, right? Edmonton, they made a big old move. A very Kenny Holland-esque move. Adam Henrique.
He's still in the league. I'll be damned.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still there. And I'm trying to remember where they got this cat from. But I know...
Well, he played with the Ducks forever.
Ducks. That's... Or was it Ducks? Yeah. And let me see.
Yeah. No, he was playing for the Ducks until he got traded to the Oilers.
Yep. And for a first-round pick. That's a trademark Kenny Holland move.
I mean, to be fair, he is, for what it's worth, a... I was looking at that wrong. Never mind. That is...
Kenny Holland, we've seen what happens. He just goes through this, I don't know that guy. I don't know. That's a name I recognize. It's like he's still playing EA Sports NHL 2018.
He has traditionally hovered around the 20-goal mark in a season, and he's already got 18 this year with Anaheim in 60 games played there, for whatever it might be worth.
Yeah, for a junk team like Anaheim. So, I mean, I guess that he's got that going for him.
Well, no one else on that team can score, apparently.
Jake Guentzel, he's going to Carolina.
The bunch of jerks.
Yeah, in exchange for everybody. Everybody in the Carolina Hurricanes now plays for Pittsburgh.
Sounds about right.
Michael Bunting, Ville Kuvainen, Vasily Ponomarev, Cruz Lucius. Now, that sounds like a cool name, Cruz Lucius.
Right.
And Carolina's first-round pick. So
they give the farm for him.
Well, first-round pick conditional. If they don't make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, it drops down to a second. And then if the fifth-round pick disappears, what is the condition? If he doesn't re-sign or something like that.
Something of that sort, yeah.
Yeah, that fifth-round pick could go bye-bye anytime. We'll keep our crack team of professionals at the sports desk letting us know what's going on. We'll bring in anything that happens with the trade market, let you know what's going on.
Yeah, like I don't think we're going to find a lot more, certainly not regarding
very quiet
Detroit Red Wings, but we'll see if there ends up being anything major that develops between now and the time we get off the air today, but it doesn't look like we're certainly not going to see anything regarding the Red Wings, and we'll get into that a little bit coming up next, because I had kind of a critical question regarding the Wings and their, what we kind of assumed over the last few days going in, was going to be a lack of movement at the trade deadline. We'll talk about it next. It is Happy Hour. Stick around back after this. It is Happy Hour, Trade Center Edition. That's right.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, I just got sued.
Oh, you know damn well we did. And the Wings, it probably would have stunned all of us a week ago had the Wings not made any moves, any major moves of any real consequence at the trade deadline.
I'd like to think that Yzerman was very active, but just he's not going to make a deal just to make a deal. He's not going to be with like, well, I came all the way to the mall. I feel like buying something. Going to have to come home with something. He's not that way. And he warned everybody. He's like, listen, we're not making a plunge for just this year. We want to build something on for a couple of years and won multiple cups. And you know he did it in Tampa Bay. So I'm still subscribing to the Iser plan. Absolutely.
I know you are, and I feel like a lot of other people are feeling that way.
There's some people jumping ship.
Well, there's always the overreactionary people, sure. But I am not a subscriber necessarily to the well, everything Steve Eisenman does must be right because it's Steve Eisenman thing. But I'm also not going to be the overreactionary, this team's not going to do anything this year anyway. They're not even going to make the playoffs, so why bother adding anything?
Right.
Like, I'm yeah. a little less pessimistic than that, which is weird considering this is me we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're not going for the cup this year. They're making the playoffs this year. Go ahead, get ready to watch some playoff hockey in April. It's going to be a lot of fun. But the fact that he didn't make a move almost makes me feel better as opposed to some pathetic, desperate move, moving a second-round pick for some guy you barely heard of. Before anybody wants to say that he didn't make any good decisions, sometimes not doing anything is a good decision. Then you look back at his free agency and all the moves he made back in July that have panned out, and the trades. You have Alex DeBrincat. That's worked out. Patrick Kane, that seems to be doing pretty decent.
Absolutely.
Alex Lyon, not too shabby. Daniel Sprong, not too bad. Yes. Yes. Jeff Petrie. Yes, I understand. But
that didn't work out at all.
But hey, he's
Justin Hall.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would have thought that he would have been a goner as well.
I questioned that one from the time he did it.
Yeah, that one was a little head scratcher. But he's batting over .500 as far as with players he was able to accrue this season. So he wasn't able to get a Jacob Chychrun, but you know. Ottawa Senators probably not going to be a team that wants to deal with somebody in their own division.
I believe they ended up dealing him at all.
He's staying put so far. Linus Allmark, he's staying with the Bruins. Riley Smith has not been signed. Max Pacioretty has not been signed. And Jacob Markstrom, he's still currently with the Calgary Flames. But like I said, it's after 3 o'clock. Another 15, 20 minutes, we may see something trickle in.
No, like we're well beyond the point where that's going to happen, man. Like usually, only, like we're well beyond at this point. So
let me have this, Sean. Just shut up. It's I don't know. It could be. I mean, I've seen it happen before, but it's. I'm fine with it. I'm not saying the sky is falling, because. Steve Yzerman didn't make a big splash with the trade. There wasn't really anything splash worthy.
Jacob Chychrun.
Maybe. I know you've been real high on him, and I don't blame you, but I don't know. I just, what would we have given up for him?
Whatever it took.
Whatever
I had to. Whatever was necessary.
No, not me. I don't want to mortgage the future for a present that you know is not going to be real bright. That's the Kenny Holland way. Kenny Holland, he's got to be trading stuff for now because he's got some of the best players in the league chomping at the bit. We want to win now. We got to do this.
And you're not going to be able to keep those guys around if you do. If you don't go and build something around them and start winning like immediately.
Sure.
Like, it's amazing, honestly, you've got them to commit as long as they have.
Exactly. I mean, they only know, and of course, we're talking about Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
They only know oil country. They only know Edmonton, so they're gonna stick around in there, but I don't know. You can kind of see it in Connor McDavid's and Draisaitl's doing press conferences and stuff like that. They're grouchy. Draisaitl's grouchy. McDavid's getting grouchy. And
hard to blame him, honestly.
No, not really. Not really. And then, I don't know. I mean, the coaching change surely helped them. Now, one team that's a little perplexing is the Penguins. They still have Geno, and they still have Crosby, but they got rid of Guentzel, who was supposed to be like the future.
As much as a future as anyone can really be on that squad, because that's one of the, I think, older squads at this point in the league.
They are. I mean, so are we sniffing a rebuild happening in Pittsburgh?
a rebuild on the fly, or just we're going to hang on to our fleeting memories of what was for another season or two longer?
Maybe.
Hard to say either way.
Maybe they're going to try to one more dance, you know, but I don't know.
Because that's what they tried for this year, and
it didn't happen.
Did not work out very well.
It didn't happen. I mean, a rebuild on the fly, that's what every GM would love to be able to do, because you don't want to sit there and tell season ticket holders, yep, we're going to not be very good for a couple years. Anyway, how many seats can we put you in for this year?
Yeah, that doesn't help in trying to sell the...
No, sales department's like, would you shut up about the whole rebuild? Ixnay on the e-build ray.
Yeah, not making their jobs easy by any means.
Nope. So they're on the rebuild, so is Washington. They didn't make any moves. It's the Vegas and Florida show until we see otherwise.
Kind of, yeah. I mean,
there
are a few other teams that made some, like Carolina made some big moves, certainly.
Well, yeah, that was a team that just kind of floundered a little bit. Then they get better. Then they lose a little. It's good to see that they're, was it Rod Brendamore? Is he the GM over there?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like it's good to see him showing a little gumption when it comes to the trade market.
Aggression.
He's aggressive.
You love to see it. I personally would have liked to see a little more of our team, but, you know.
Yeah,
but
I just don't think those were there.
Brendamore is the head coach over there.
Oh, okay.
Don Waddell is the GM.
Ah, Don Waddell.
It's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Like, wasn't he the PD for the Riff?
Ha! I apologize to Don Waddell and Doug Podell, I suppose.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We still got free agency coming in July, so maybe that's when we're going to have a lot more players under our tree.
Take some big swings and things of that nature.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be nice.
I would assume so. I mean, that seems to be the way that Stevie kind of operates traditionally. Like, he's not a guy that, like we've talked about a lot over the years, he hoards draft picks.
I'm glad, as opposed to, you know, I just get the feeling that...
As opposed to the way the Lions do things, which is basically, trade all them picks. We don't need them.
Yeah, and I just think that Ken Holland, I'm trying not to bag on Ken Holland, but it's just so easy.
He makes it so easy.
I just think that he doesn't like going to the first day of the draft. He's like, oh, there's a lot of people there. I'm just going to skip it. Let's just trade away that first round pick. I'll see you guys on day two.
Yeah, that sounds like I could be a lot more productive not being here. But no, I think safe assumption that you could see the Wings make some moves in the more in the offseason. Like I said, I don't subscribe to this, oh, this team's junk. They're not going to make it out. They have no chance of making it out of the first round. Like, I'm not necessarily buying into that yet.
No.
I don't think you make it beyond the first round.
No.
But depending on what matchup you draw, unless it's Florida, in which case, good luck.
Yeah, that's you're looking at a sweep. Florida's just too tough right now. I can't believe I'm saying that about the Florida Panthers, of all places.
The teams in Florida you ever thought you'd say that about, that is not one, I guarantee it.
Yeah, right. Well, with whatever, what's his name is, coming over and going straight to Grand Rapids, there's a lot of people saying, well, that's making room for Jonathan Berggren. So probably expect to see him maybe tonight against Arizona.
Possibly. At the very least, it sounds like he might actually be on premises. I don't know if he's going to play. I've not seen anything announced as far as lineups for tonight. Remember, you saw Dylan Larkin out, and I have not yet not been able to acquire lineup information for tonight. So
it's a late game. It's a later game, so we may not get it until after the show's over.
Yeah, I would imagine not. You're not wrong about that.
So we'll see what happens.
Oh, so for what it's worth, you'd ask me about the other guy, the guy we acquired today.
I can't remember his name.
So here's a name for you, Radim Šimek.
Radim Šimek. Is that one of those names that Michael Jackson made up before his songs? Radim Šimek.
So it's a Czech name, apparently. That's where he's from, Czechoslovakia.
Uh-huh.
And over the last five seasons, he's played parts of those seasons in the NHL, about half the games in any given year, and he's good for one or two goals a season. And he's a minus 41 in the NHL for his career.
Whoa!
So, yeah, that's roster.
Well, take into account that it was the San Jose Sharks. They've been steaming hot garbage for the last couple of seasons, so
I'm
not
going to
hold
fair.
That against him, but still. I mean, I can't imagine.
I am kind of curious. Let me look this up. Is there anyone who's a positive, a plus minus for the Sharks?
Thomas Hertl?
No, but there are two people who are. Jacob Megna, who's a plus six on the season.
Never heard of him.
One goal and 11 assists so far with the team. And Michael Asimont.
Okay, yeah.
Who's got a plus one. Everyone else is a zero or below.
Yikes. They've got some work to do in San Jose.
They really do. You know, even Hertl is a minus 36, if you can believe that.
Do we complain about Vegas now, or do we complain about Vegas later?
Oh, I feel like we're going to have plenty of time to do that. In fact, I think maybe we might just come back out of the news and do that.
Let's do that.
So I think that is tentatively the plan there. Of course, because it is still Friday, we will get to some unsolicited advice coming up in a little bit.
Yes.
And we'll, you know, as we usually do, attempt to, you know, pay penance for our, you know, sins against the community and whatnot at the end of the show. And who knows what else? We'll figure that all out when we get there. It's Trade Center. You know how NHL trade deadline day goes. We don't really plan anything beyond talking about trades and things. Like, there's nothing else going on in the world, quite frankly, as far as we're concerned. It is Happy Hour at South State Radio. Stick around. It is Happy Hour, and we've been kind of saving this one because it's really the whole thing is ridiculous enough that it deserves its own full segment on this show, even though we are clearly not doing Vegas sports radio.
Right. I mean, yes. Once again, Mark Stone is on long-term injured reserve.
For the third year in a row?
Third year in a row. We've seen this movie before. It's become a trilogy now.
And always seems to end with him mysteriously just happening to miraculously come back in time for the playoffs.
And you see the memes. You see everybody talking about it. Vegas, we're on to you this time. At some point, Uncle Gary has got to get his bobblehead over to Vegas, his favorite pet, and say, listen, you're circumventing the cap. You're making me look a fool. And you got to knock it off. Just knock it off, Vegas.
Well, you know, you're allowed to make Uncle Gary look a fool as long as you're
making
a
money.
Or as long as you're a team in the Southwest.
Yeah. What is with?
You know the rules.
Yeah, Vegas, they're probably making the NHL a lot of money. You're defending Stanley Cup champions, but something tells me if, let's say, I'm just going to go and say, let's say Steve Yzerman does the same thing. He's probably going to be called out.
Oh, no, absolutely you would. Vegas, well, I don't know. Tampa Bay did get away with that for a while, too. Like, Kucherov mm-hmm. missed the yep. entire season and then came back, so maybe he wouldn't. I don't
know. Stamkos did that. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you had a couple years where guys would just, oh, look, would you look there? He's miraculously healthy as soon as the playoffs start and then no longer counts against the cap.
Sure. I mean, Peter Forsberg made a career of that towards the tail end of his career with the Colorado Avalanche. He'd be injured, quote-unquote, right around November and then come back in March right before the playoffs. But they weren't
in a salary cap then.
Yeah, they weren't in a salary cap, and that would not have circumvented the salary cap because he would have come back during the regular season. But still,
yeah.
We've seen this kind of malarkey before.
Oh, well, we see it in, you know, multiple sports. Football's done it, too. I mean, I think I want to say it's Odell Beckham and Dominican Sue have, you know, done or Wade doing that sort of thing. Like, just come back, like, mid or late end of the season. I mean, we picked up Zach Ertz right before the NFC title game.
Yeah.
Like, these things just happen, and sometimes there's not really, like, you just exploit the loopholes where you can.
Yeah, that's kind of seeing that happen. But, I mean, it's just funny that nobody believes him at all.
No, and nor should they. I wouldn't believe him. I mean, clearly, like, it could be a legit thing that Stone has whatever injury he's got now.
Yep.
I think he said like, it's a spleen or something.
Spleen? If someone ruptured his spleen. That's go big or go home, I guess.
it was something like pretty major like that, if I remember right.
Yeah.
But
so he's like, you know, in a witness protection program so nobody can see him. And then he just kept, hey, guys, guess who's healthy? I'm back. Yay.
Well, I mean,
I don't get it.
That is a thing. Oh, this time apparently it's an upper body injury. Mm-hmm. He got injured February 20th when he was hit by Yakov Trenin and the Predators in the neutral zone. So that's what started all of that. And then he was already expected to miss the rest of the regular season. So it was basically a paper move to put him on LTIR.
Nah. All right. So I guess he's too injured. All right. Well, we won't see him in the playoffs. Well,
that's what you think.
That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that, Vegas. Hopefully you can persevere.
Well, I mean, when you look at the other trades they made, I mean, they might be all right anyway. I mean, you picked up or were working on picking up Thomas Hurdle.
Anthony Mantha.
Oh, yes. Our old friend Anthony Mantha.
Didn't get a chance to talk about that. But, yeah, he went from Capitals over to Vegas. And, you know, nobody in the Washington Capitals camp is probably too upset about it, because something about Mantha, he's got a lot of talent, but a lot of people get on his
lack of workload. He gets a lot of people's doghouse,
yeah. Yeah, he really does. And his lackluster approach to everything, it's too bad. So, I mean, I don't think his time is going to be too long in Vegas, but we'll see.
And so here's apparently what Vegas is getting or giving up for Tomas Hertl. First rounder next year, David Edstrom, who was their first round pick in 23, they're getting Hurdle at 6.75%. 17% of Hurdle's contract is being retained by St. Louis, and then a third and 25 and a third and 27 per Darren Dreger.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. I think it's going to be Vegas and Florida again. We'll see what happens.
It wouldn't surprise me, honestly. Like, I'm very much expecting. I mean, both these teams have only gotten better and upgraded their rosters more significantly and stupidly in the case of Vegas since last time around.
Yes.
I mean, this is something that has to be, at some point, addressed by the league. Is it not? Like,
yes.
This can't. I mean, I guess in theory it could continue to go on as long as Uncle Gary doesn't care. That's not his team's getting, you know, his favorite team's getting offended, getting screwed over, what have you.
Right.
But do you think the NHL actually addresses this at some point?
I think if they get enough complaints from the other GMs and maybe the NHLPA gets involved, then, yeah, he's going to have to make noise about it. But until then, hey. The Vegas Golden Knights are an exciting team to watch. I mean, our friend Bob Lawson wrote a book about hockey in Vegas, and it's cracked the top 100 in the New York bestsellers list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it is something to behold.
Yeah, we got to get him on the show here quick.
Yeah. I've got a copy of the book. I still haven't read the thing yet. I'll get it over to you and see if you can peruse it.
Oh, you already did. I have kind of looked into it a little
Well,
bit.
Well, I mean, I bought. He gave us like the digital version, and I could not bring that up on my phone.
Oh, so I got no problem with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I've got the actual physical version of it. It's an attractive book. It really is.
Nice.
Vegas Strong, or I can't remember what the title is.
Sorry, Vegas Bob. Hockey, Vegas Strong, or something?
Vegas Hockey, Vegas Strong. Yeah, I'm going to put Bob on the apology list.
Just add him now, just in case.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we totally butchered the name of your book. Now, will you come on our radio show?
We put you on the apology list.
Oh, geez. Sorry, guys. Driving through a tunnel. Can't help you.
Oh, yeah, that's probably it. But, yeah, until people really start complaining, until it starts costing money, I don't think he's going to do a damn thing about it. I don't think he's going to do a thing about it.
Until there's an actual, Well, I mean, you could put a penalty against or just say that, okay, you can't go exceeding the cap limit after the season. Like, there's a rule you can put in place to do that, but also businesses helped in some capacity by Vegas being good. And Vegas has built up quite a fan base that enjoys that rather exciting brand of hockey that they play.
Yes, they do.
And I would imagine that Bettman doesn't see any reason to upset the apple cart as of right now. I mean, he didn't when Tampa Bay was consistently doing the same thing.
Yep.
So if anything, if it is actually changed Well, I'd, quite frankly, I'd be stunned, at least anytime soon.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think it would take? Like, what would have to happen? We'd just have the ratings of the playoffs just have to, like, crash through the floor?
It'd have to happen a couple more times where people are just like, okay, this is ridiculous. This is cheapening the product. It's watering down what we expect out of the Stanley Cup Finals. It's not good. I'm not watching.
You know what I guarantee you would end it real quick? Winnipeg starts doing it.
Yes.
No, we know Uncle Gary hates that market. And the second that they tried to do it there,
yep.
You know he'd be like, all right, that's it. It's done. Can't have Canadian teams that aren't the Leafs doing this sort of thing. It's cheap. It's bad for the game and so on and so forth.
Yep.
You know, it was fine when our Southern teams were doing it, but you guys, no, you're better than that, quote unquote.
Meanwhile, the Vegas Golden Knight GM is sitting next to his throne, and Gary Bettman's slowly stroking his head. I think this malarkey needs to stop. I'm not talking about you, Vegas. And I think you guys need to stop circumventing the CBA. Not talking about you, Vegas.
You're fine, Vegas. You can do no wrong. It's okay. Like, the rules don't apply to you. They won't apply to Salt Lake City when they get here either. It's fine. Everything's fine.
But Winnipeg, you get your you-know-what together, pal.
Ottawa, I don't want to hear a word out of you, or we'll send you down to Houston so fast it'll make your head spin.
Houston's like, yee-haw, we'll take them.
They wouldn't. I do find it interesting, by the way, kind of a side here, that with all the it was really quick that we went from, oh, well, Salt Lake is interested in a hockey team. That only came out, a couple months ago?
Yeah.
Not even.
Not even.
It was, right around Christmas time, wasn't it?
No, it was in 2024.
Okay, so it's been less than, 2 months.
Yeah.
And already, in that span of time, the NHL has already basically committed, yep, they're going to be the next one. They're gonna be next, and then
it's kind of like waiting to get into a dance club, and you got Houston, you've got Quebec City standing in line, and the door guy just opens up the velvet rope for Salt Lake City, lets them in.
Like, what's a guy got to do? Poor Quebec City, yeah, they're just standing in line. They can't even the guy won't even don't look directly at me.
Hey, I thought I was next. Oh, you'll be. We'll get you in.
We'll get you in eventually.
Just stay behind the velvet rope, sir.
Just stay back here with the poor people. Thank you very much.
Quebec's like, I know, man. We've been out here for quite a while.
No one asked you, Quebec.
Je ne jolie pas.
I mean, it's kind of sad, really, the fact that you have these seemingly, fertile markets that would love to support a hockey team. But they're not going to get the chance to because the league just, for whatever reason, is convinced that it can't work or they don't think they can find the corporate sponsorship or whatever. But I just find it odd that, Houston all of a sudden disappeared out of, all right, well, Atlanta's getting a team, the second that someone could, draw me up blueprints of an arena.
Right.
And Salt Lake City just thought about hockey and Bettman's there, all right, we're signing papers today.
Yeah.
And that... Yeah, these other markets, Houston particularly, can't, I've heard nothing, in that regard. And that's kind of a weird thing to me, man. I don't know.
No, I totally get it. Because, I mean, how much corporate sponsorship are you getting in Salt Lake City?
Let's
be completely honest with ourselves here.
Realistically, I don't feel like it would be that much. But I think there is part of it, they want the Olympics. This has been a big part of this. You want to talk about being, they want Salt Lake to be, when you think Salt Lake City, you think winter sports.
Yes.
And if they're willing to do all this and put up this state-of-the-art arena to eventually have the Olympics again, I think they figure, okay, we have that commitment.
We have
an ownership group in place in, Ryan and Ashley Smith, I think it is, who owned the Utah Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have these things there, so I can see how on some level it makes sense. to do that, to consider them above, you know, other bids. But still, I kind of think that it's a little bit of a slap in the face when you have the fifth biggest media market in the country, mm-hmm. and they can't sniff a team.
Right.
And yet you're just basically handing out teams to these other markets like candy.
Right. Would the Olympic Committee really choose the same city again? Because, I mean, they had the Winter Olympics in 2002. Has Olympics, either summer or winter, been to a city twice?
I think so.
It'd be London, maybe?
As a matter of fact, yes. Innsbruck in Austria has hosted two. Lake Placid's hosted two.
Oh, okay.
So there is precedent for it.
Okay.
So you could, I mean, also I believe it was quite a long time in between Lake Placid's hosting stint. It was 32 and then 1980.
Right.
Innsbruck was a little of 64 and 76. So, I mean, you could see reasonably that, you know, it could happen. I mean, at this point, it's been over 22 years since Salt Lake City, the U.S. in general, last hosted. So you could certainly see a case reasonably being made for it. We got to hit a break. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. It is Happy Hour, and it is once again that time of the week for my favorite bit that we do. Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice.
Woohoo.
Where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. We intercept them. And I quite frankly think we give better advice than the people who get paid to do this for a living.
Dang.
Sure, we may ruin a few lives in the process, but you know, that's the cost of doing business.
Yep.
Let's dive right in, shall we?
Let's do it.
Dear, does anyone actually still read these? My husband and I don't have children. My sister is a single mom and has always been strict with her children. She has a rule for her kids that when they turn 18, they either pay rent or move out. Her daughter turned 18, didn't find her footing, and wasn't working, so my sister kicked her out. She asked to live with us, and we agreed. She's doing great at our house. She's attending a local community college. She's working part-time. We like having her here. We're not charging her rent, and we're encouraging her to save her money. My sister is furious with us for undermining her rules for her children. I'm not sure how to respond.
It's simple. You threw your daughter out after turning 18, you've accepted the fact that she's an adult. She made an adult decision, and it just happens to deal with your sister. You have taken yourself out of the equation. Stay there. Simple?
Well, the letter writer is not the...
No, I know. I'm talking to the single sister who's upset that the writer has taken in her daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I like the fact that this mother is putting some sort of boundaries. I've been hearing about parents who are like, okay, after you turn 18, you're either going to school or you're paying rent. Nobody's going to be living in our house and not contributing. I like that idea, but this whole thing at 18, you're out the door regardless. First of all, you need to take a step outside once in a while and see. And as a single mother, you'd think she would know what kind of life is out there. You can't, you know, live on your own. You have to move in with somebody. And that's exactly what she did. It just happens to be your sister.
Yeah, you didn't say that, and quite frankly, you have no right to say that if you kick your daughter out that someone else can't take your daughter in and not charge her rent. That wasn't part of the arrangement.
Yeah, it could have been. You're lucky it's your sister. It could be some skeezy guy. She could be living in a commune with a bunch of hippies. You know, something like that.
Exactly. Like and honestly, this is probably better than, you know, the aforementioned commune with the hippies.
Oh, it is. It's family. She's going to college.
It sounds like she's doing all the right things.
Yep.
Like she's working, she's going to school.
Yep.
She's bettering herself.
Yep.
I don't see how there could possibly be an issue other than you're just mad that she's not getting punished the way you want her to be.
I don't think it's punishment. I just think she wants her to be self-sufficient. But you know, going to school, get an education so she can get a good job, that's self-sufficiency.
Yeah, like that seems like the exact definition of what it is you're looking for.
This
like,
is not the 70s anymore where people are 18. Oh, I'm 18. I'm going to go work in a factory. I'm going to buy a house and have 2.5 kids. Those days are gone. They're gone, 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 gone. Now, I will reiterate that if somebody turns 18 and they're not going to school, They should be paying rent. They should have a job. They should be paying rent. But to kick them out and then get ticked off when somebody takes them in
and offers to help them,
it's too bad. You have acknowledged that at 18 they are an adult and no longer your responsibility. Well, don't get upset if somebody helps them out.
So I'm kind of in a different situation here. I lived with my folks for quite a few years after 18. They did not charge me rent and didn't charge me for a lot of a lot of things necessarily, like we're on a family phone plan and, you know, a couple other things. So I didn't necessarily get that, you know, basically thrown out of the house kind of thing. In fact, like the one time where I actually like had considered doing so before Rage and I started dating and before we ultimately bought the house we're in now, like the folks actually were not totally thrilled about the idea of me moving out. Like, they kind of wanted me to stay around.
Oh, you're living in sin with that woman.
Oh, this was pre-Rachel, like, or either pre-Rachel or pretty early on into my relationship with my now wife.
So you're gonna leave the house and move in with that group of women?
Well, I don't remember what it was, the circumstances were. Well, I wasn't gonna be living with her. It was a buddy of mine had a place that he was looking for, like, a roommate or whatever.
Right, right.
But they were very much like, no, stay here. Like, we don't want you to have to go out there and, you know, completely struggle. Like, we want you to be able to buy a house someday.
Yeah, it's
and
yeah.
Thankfully, thanks to the pandemic, we were able to do so.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm of a different, and I'm saying this about my stepkids. I don't really have too much to say about it. But I mean, when they turn 18, if they're not in school, they're paying rent. I'm not going to have somebody.
You're just saying it because you don't like your stepkids.
No, that's not true. Come on now. I just think that shows some sort of responsibility, especially the kids are like, I want to quit school. All right, well then you're paying rent.
Yeah, that seems fair.
You're contributing to something. You're contributing to, you know, and yeah. even if they pay rent and we hold on to it for them. And then give it back to them so they can put a down payment on an apartment or...
Which would something. Be an awesome thing to do, too. Yeah. Like, and I know a lot of parents who actually, like, do something like that. Like, they're just holding on to that. Like, here's your you know, down payment for, like, for a house or whatever. Like, here mm-hmm. you go. Like, this is, you know, this is why we were doing this. And that, you know, sort of thing is really cool. But where this one just, like, you know, just you can go ahead and fly the nest, like... Like, I don't care what happens to you after that point.
Wait a minute. You mean my daughter is not in an sitting on an overpass in the highway with a hobo burn barrel playing
like it
playing
seems like that's what this woman wants.
You mean she's not begging for food? She's not trying to sell oranges on the highway?
Right.
This is preposterous. I don't like this at all.
Can you imagine feeling that way about, like, being, like, upset that you're... That your kid is not having to just horribly struggle because, you know, someone's nice enough to help her out while she's, you know, doing the responsible thing and going to school and working and everything. Like, can you imagine just, you know, having someone who has the audacity to help your kid through life being, like angry at them? I can't imagine that.
And it's not just a random person. It's family.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's... yeah,
the people that you exactly the people you expect that would hope would help your kid.
Yeah,
if things went awry sideways in some way, shape, or form.
So the mother is just going to have to grin and bear it.
Unfortunately for her, I guess your kid's going to be able to live in a house on their own, or not on their own, but, you know, have a place to stay and not have to, you know, fear the constant possibility of being homeless. Oh, well. Yeah. poor mom, I guess.
Right. Oh, well.
Whatever will you do? Want to do another one of these?
Yeah.
Dear somebody who cares, a while ago, as I was standing in line at the grocery store, a young woman with 7 or 8 items tied up the checkout process by leaving her groceries on the belt and then running back to grab something she forgot. It happens. I get it. She was buying name brand food items, among them an $8 jar of spaghetti sauce. She used the last of her food stamp card, paid some cash, and was still short of money to pay for her purchase. Since I was next in line, she looked at me and waited. The cashier and bagger, who appeared to know her, stared at me as well, waiting for me to cover the difference. I often help people when I can, but this was a rare time I couldn't because my only income at the time was $150 in food assistance. as well as I could help by showing her the 99-cent sauce that was on sale and the store brand of mac and cheese, etc., but I didn't. The hostility from the customer and food service workers was becoming more overt as the minutes ticked by. The bagger finally pulled her credit card from her wallet and paid the balance for her. I have since felt torn by this situation and wonder whether I was right or not by refusing to pick up the rest of her tab.
No.
What?
No.
This can't be serious.
This
feels like some like manufactured rage bait.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking at.
I don't believe that this is a real thing.
Like the cashier's just like, hey, you're gonna step up here? And the other shopper who, you know, is getting name brands. First of all, what spaghetti sauce costs $8?
Right? I don't think I've ever bought $8 a jar of spaghetti sauce.
It better be some really good spaghetti sauce.
Like they better be having some Italians making that stuff fresh, like, you know, in the back of the grocery store while I'm shopping.
I want her name to be Maria. I want her to have a really hairy mole, and I want that to be good. Good sauce. Yes. I don't know. I think rage bait is starting to permeate from this, but we'll take it at face value. No, the writer shouldn't feel bad at all. He shouldn't be expected to cover somebody else's bill. We hear about that all the time. Oh, well, somebody couldn't make the thing, so I paid for it and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but it's what makes it so special. It's that because you don't have to, you're not required to. And I mean, they had food assistants of their own. Actually, the cashier and the other customer, they didn't know that.
Right, and quite frankly, she's under no obligation to explain that to them.
Absolutely not.
Like, in what way is that any of their business? Absolutely none of their concern.
Right.
Like, and I find it kind of like weird that like this just seems like it's stoked to like to rage bait against like people who already like hate like, you know, people on welfare, food stamps or whatever. Like, oh, you know, all those poor people who like get their EBT and their WIC and stuff and they spend it on steak instead of, you know, macaroni, Kraft dinner and, you know, ramen noodles. Like, how dare they want things?
They have a cell phone. If you're on food assistance, I expect you to be walking around in tattered clothes with a hobo bindle. I want all your belongings to be in a handkerchief tied to the end of a stick.
I expect you to dress and look the part. Thank you very much. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm expecting that, or I'm asking that much. Like, you kind of feel that way with some of these people who get so offended. Like, why do I really? Why am I supposed to like feel like enraged because someone who's clearly not as well off as I am for however, I mean, not that I'm like a particularly, not that the wife and I are like the most well off, but I mean, we own a house, we're paying a mortgage on a house, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're better off than a lot of people and lucky to be there. But like, I don't get the people who like just have to look down upon anyone who's like, oh, well, you actually need help and charity from people. How dare you? That's a moral failing on your part. I hate that so, so much.
And a lot of that is just, and we see it all the time. We talk about it all the time, the class war, where everybody's just like, they just want to feel as if they're better than somebody. So that's all that
it is. It's exactly that. It's these people who like feel like I need everyone to know that I am better than them somehow.
I will say, for the other side of the coin, I have seen people with food assistance go and buy a bunch of like soda pop, pour out the pop in the parking lot, take the bottles back, and then use the money for cigarettes. I have seen that happen.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm not saying it's right by any means.
But to see that everybody who's on food assistance does that, the reason why I bring it up is just because of the audacity of some people. It's because it's such an extreme thing.
Right. I don't, it's just something that like I don't like fundamentally understand about people, why they are this way, why they're so, and I say this as someone who is, you know, as judgmental as they get and, you know, takes a big point of pride of it on this radio show.
And what we're doing right now.
Exactly. But this also comes to something else that has always kind of annoyed the ever-loving hell out of me.
Uh-huh.
And that is the pay it forward line.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been in a... It seems to happen a lot at coffee-based drive-through places. But it, like I know it happens at like... Oh, your burger joints and whatnot, too.
It happens. And it's always like, you know, some cute little blonde. Oh, somebody paid for my coffee. Oh, I'm just so blessed. I'm like, yeah, I bet you are.
Meanwhile, you come up and, oh, your stuff's been paid for. But behind you, it's a family of six. It's racked up a $100 tab.
Yeah, and they're looking at you like, are you going to pay for it? Actually,
you're going to pay for this, right?
Actually, I've heard from people from fast food joints and coffee joints where they're like, it's such a pain in the butt. It really
No, it is.
Is.
I believe that. Like that sounds like when you're trying to like ensure, you know, an orderly line and things being taken care of and, you know, in that kind of fashion, like when someone decides, oh, well, I'm just going to pay for the person behind me or whatever, like that really kind of mucks up the gears. And these places, like, you know, there's a certain precision that has to be maintained.
Yeah.
To keep those things functioning, running smoothly. Like, it's not, like, honestly, it's probably a harder gig to function and do on a daily basis than what we do for a living.
Right. But then you also,
entirely honest.
You heard these stories. I don't know how true these stories are, but, you know, somebody behind somebody in a line for Taco Bell or whatever is honking, gets all upset. So the person in front pays for their food and then takes the food and drives off. I paid for it. I'm taking it.
Oh, you've seen that Reddit post too, haven't you?
Yeah, and I've seen that many times in different forms. I don't know if that's ever happened.
I will take things that never happened for $500,
yeah,
Alex.
I don't. It's like somebody at Taco Bell's like, oh, I paid for it, so I'm taking it. They're probably gonna be like, yeah, we're not doing that. Because if that happens too often, this whole pay it forward thing is, I like to pay for them. No, you're not. Keep moving. Come on.
But you know what? If that's what it takes to get rid of that, I'm fine with that too.
Yeah.
Like if that's going to be enough to just be like, okay, we're officially done. Like, no more paying it forward. That is never happening. Like, we're just shutting that down just right now.
Yep.
I am entirely good with that, and I can live with that. I, like, absolutely do it. Like, we can end this nonsense now. Like, end it tomorrow, today, whatever.
I'm good.
Because it just, it's not a thing that needs to happen. I'm sorry. It's just, it benefits like one. It like makes for one feel good story for one person, and then it's just a complete pain for everybody behind them.
Yeah, exactly. Because if somebody's going to buy my coffee, then I look back there, and there's like a whole truck of construction workers. I'm like, well, they're on their own.
Yeah, absolutely not paying for their stuff. Sorry, I hate to break it to you. You know what? I feel like we're on a roll here. We're doing a good thing. We're really changing lives, man. So you know what? Let's go ahead and break. We'll come back. And we'll dispense a little more advice as really, I guess, only the two of us idiots can do.
All right.
It is happy hour. Stick around. Back after this. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harehawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And I feel like I just owe everybody, like before we even get to the apology list, just a tremendous apology for today. So for those of you who don't listen during the week on Solid State Radio, I've been, shall we say, a little sick on and off throughout the week this week. I think we managed one good show like midweek talking wings and things before my voice has just gone to hell. Like, I am probably one shot or so away from just going full on Pharrell on the bench. Like, it's rough. So honestly, thank you guys for sticking in through this if you've made it this far. What say we do another round of unsolicited advice, shall we?
I'm feeling very judgy today.
I think surprisingly judgy for a guy who just spent the last segment saying how judgy he's probably not.
Yeah.
But let's do this anyway. Dear, oh God, not those two. My girlfriend has had countless cosmetic surgeries and recently insisted I have a facelift. She was embarrassed by my aged appearance. We're both 37.
Oh my God.
I reluctantly agreed and spent thousands of dollars for the procedure. I was even relatively pleased with the results. Now my girlfriend has determined that one of my toes is hideously crooked. She wants it surgically corrected. I refuse to have what I consider another unnecessary surgery. The toe barely curves, and I've had no pain or issues. My girlfriend is horrified that I'll be out and about wearing flip-flops with my hideous toe for all to see. She told me I had a choice, her or the toe. When I told her I'd choose the toe, she agreed to stay if I only wear closed-toe shoes. Forever. I should mention that for 37, she has an amazing body. What do you think?
I think you have a problem, sir.
You think?
Sounds like, and I'm not taking a swipe at anybody who's had cosmetic surgery. There's a lot of people I know who have gone that route. But it sounds like she is using it as... There are people who have a mental illness when it comes to cosmetic surgery. They can't stop. This, I want to be perfect. I want to be perfect. And now she wants you to be perfect to correct your toe?
Like, is she just like... Is she like one of those weird feed people? Like, I don't understand who's ever going to be... who's going to pay attention to that? Notice
so
that?
So nitpicky.
Who's going to be staring at that ever? And if they are, that quite frankly means you should be questioning a lot of things about them.
You already went that route. At 37, you went that route, and now you're considering doing it again. This is never going to end, my man. It's never going to end because 37, what's going to happen in 10 years at 47 if you're still together? What is she going to want to change about herself, and what is she going to want to change about you? Sounds like she has no problem judging you and having you go through this expensive and painful stuff.
Give it 20 years. You'll be looking more plastic than Michael Jackson, my man.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Yeah, it is not worth it. She doesn't... if she can't handle you at, you know, your wrinkles, she can't handle you. Just cut her loose, or let her cut herself loose with a scalpel and some Botox.
As apparently that's what it might take.
Something. Have her grafted off of you or something. I don't know. It's...
You might literally have to do that.
It is terrible because the sarcastic part of me is like, well, yeah, you need to turn around. And I was like, well, you know, you're worried about my toe when you've got a nose like that, because then she'd probably be right over to rhinoplasty and, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work. Like, she'll be like, actually, you know, I really need to do that. And she'll spend, you know, even more thousands of dollars
on
surgery.
You're right. I should do that. Man, you're talking about my toes with your earlobes like that? All right.
Yeah, like, this is the one point in time at which I don't think that would legitimately work.
No, you would only make things worse, and, you know, people get addicted to stuff like that. And
well, people do get addicted to that. Like, you've seen, like, the one woman who, like, wanted to make herself, like, a real-life Barbie, the one who wanted to make herself, like, a cat or something.
Oh, my God, those people.
Like, these people
exist. Yes.
And
maybe that's being ultimately judgy, but
and
I mean,
that's not even mention the people who, like, tan so much they turn to Leatherface by the time they're 40.
Oh, yes, I couldn't imagine doing anything like that to myself. So, I mean, you're worried about her leaving you. She's going to leave you, dude, because you're going to get older and you're going to keep going through all this. It's bad news, dude. Find somebody who's not as...
stuck up, self-absorbed, shallow.
Yes. Yeah.
All of those things?
The word's right there. Somebody's screaming at the radio exactly the vocabulary word I'm trying to use, but it's coming up short for me. So, yeah, stuck up.
Shallow.
We'll go with that.
I feel like that's the one it comes down to more than anything else.
Yep.
And that's not the kind of person you need or want to be in a relationship with.
Yeah, get out of there. Find somebody who's not afraid to have a little bit of crow's feet.
I mean, whatever works for you, man. Like, I find it just weird that at 37, like, you're not allowed to, like, look your... I mean, you know, any age, you're not allowed to look your age, but, I mean, come on. There probably wasn't much plastic surgery to do to you in the first place, man. Like,
right.
That's why it you know, you pulled it off so well. Like, you know, you keep doing it to where you're doing, like, Botox in your 60s and 70s. It didn't just have your face stretched apart that you can't... doesn't look like you even blink.
Yeah, you don't have facial expressions anymore. Don't do that.
Nobody wants this. She thinks she wants this. She does not.
Nope.
Now, on that note, we do have a little bit of housekeeping to take care of here. In our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Rutgers, Nebraska, Elon Musk, Quebec City, Bus Drivers, Ecuador, Dance Dance Revolution, Don Waddell, Doug Podell, Bob Lawson, Baristas, Plumbers, and I guess Feet People. We're sorry. Plenty of sports action going on this weekend. Wings tonight playing in the Mullet Arena in Arizona, taking on the Coyotes at like 10 o'clock. That 250-seat arena that they've got.
First 5,000 people. They only have 5,000 people in there. But I'm expecting a lot of Red Wings fans, so that's going to be fun.
It would just really just show up Arizona and Gary Bettman's hubris and allowing that team to continue to exist. I would love to see the Wings just pack that place out. And then tonight, actually immediately following probably the words that are coming out of my mouth right now, local original music on a little radio show we like to call Sessions.
Yeah, Rob Zink and the Collaborators, they have an album called Swim or Sink. We're going to be playing some tunes off of that. We're going to be talking to the guys about it. And also, I'm debuting a new track from Today's Okay. Just dropped in my lap today.
Ooh.
We can't get it for another 2 weeks, but we're going to take it out for a test drive.
Well, we can do that sort of thing. It's quite all right. You're the local music guru around here. You can do that stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
On that note, we're getting out of here, all being well. Hopefully I'll be able to talk by Monday, but either way, we'll see you Monday at 3.